Welcome to the Soldier for Life podcast, where we share information and resources for our military and veteran families, from employment and education to health and wellness and Army retirement. We're here to help you learn more about programs and resources that are available to our Army family. The information shared in this podcast does not constitute an endorsement by Soldier for Life, United States Army, or the Department of Defense. And now, let's get started with this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of the Soldier for Life podcast. My name is Colonel Jarrett Thomas, and I am the director for the Soldier for Life program and the host for the Soldier for Life podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. We have a great show coming up for you today about an important topic, military spouse employment. Like many of you listening today, my spouse Talisha and I struggled with this topic. Talisha had a successful career in corporate America prior to our marriage and decided to put her career on hold while I served our country. That huge sacrifice affects the quality of life of many of our families. So I'm excited to talk about this critically important topic. And I'm even more excited to have such a great and extremely knowledgeable guest to share his insights with us, Lieutenant General Kevin Vereen, the U.S. Army Deputy Chief of Staff, G9. General Vereen is the primary advisor to the Army senior leadership on issues related to military installations and environmental management across the Army enterprise. He also advises senior leaders on soldier and family readiness with a portfolio that covers housing, childcare, and Army family quality of life, to name a few. As we all know, and as we will discuss in more detail, military spouse employment plays a critical role in the health and well-being of our military families, Army recruiting and retention, and soldier readiness. General Vereen, it is an honor to have you back on the show today.
Hey, Jared, thank you. And it's an honor to be here, too. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. As many of our listeners out there know, we have been fortunate to have General Vereen on the podcast twice before when he was the commanding general for the United States Army Recruiting Command. But most of you don't know, I have a personal relationship with the G9 office. I served as the G9 Strategic Initiatives Group Chief and later as the G9 Executive Officer during a time when I returned from Afghanistan in 2020. So I personally know how dedicated these teammates are to taking care of our soldiers and their families. And I'm proud to say I was once a member of this outstanding organization. So I'm a little biased here. So to get started, General Vereen, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, why you joined the Army, your family's Army background, and your Army family experience?
Yes. No, Jared, again, thanks for having me on. Yeah, so I just real briefly, I consider myself a military brat, as we used to say when you kind of grew up in the military. But yes, my father served, and so I grew up, you know, in the Army. And fortunately, this is where I landed when I looked at where my career would actually fall. So this is an opportunity for me to continue, I think, the legacy of my father. And of course, I've got two brothers who serve as well. So we are definitely Army strong, and all of us have a firm appreciation for the Army, having experienced it as an adolescent and then through our younger ages, and then seeing my dad serve. I'm also fortunate to also have sons who've served. I've got one that's currently serving now that's at Fort Liberty, and one that previously served and now is out of the Army. But again, it's a wonderful story with him too, as well as all the great opportunities I think the Army had afforded him during his time of service. And now he's getting an opportunity to pay it back and use those skills that the Army had graciously given him. So it's an honor to be here, and it's an honor to be in the Army. And again, I just love serving and love giving back.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate that. And, you know, with our all-volunteer force, we tend to see a lot of families with that connection to the military, you know, continuing to serve. So definitely appreciate you doing your part, and your children also doing their part as well. So, sir, could you also tell us a little more about the G9 and what it does for our listeners that don't know?
Yes. You know, so for the G9, of course, we are part of the headquarters department of the Army staff, meaning that, you know, most of our requirements are coming from, you know, of course, our Army senior leaders. But at the end of the day, the staff gets paid to really ensure that we're doing everything we can to posture our Army writ large to be very successful. So if I had to capture what I think what the essence of the Army G9 is really about taking care of our soldiers and families and our Department of the Army Civilians and really providing a great atmosphere wherever they work, live, and serve and train. And so when you think about the Army, that's what we are really focused on. And we understand that our soldiers work very hard, our families work very hard, and it's really creating the environment where they can thrive. And that's what we try to do. If you look at the fundamental parts of what the headquarters department of the Army staff does, and mine's no difference than the other staffs, it's really about creating programming, and planning for the Army. And really, we're taking policies that are coming in from the Secretariat's office, which I have an affiliation with, our IE&E, which is our Installation Environment and Enterprise. That's basically taking requirements and taking policy that's generated through the Secretariat side and then putting in the plans and the programming piece, meaning that we are going to create opportunities for our subordinate units to be able to action what all the requirements that the Army has. And then also, you can't action anything if you don't have money. And so I think that's probably the most important piece is the programming piece. Then how do we take requirements and assign resources to them so that our units and our commanders can actually operate in an environment where in some cases we want it to be unconstrained, but we also know that because of budgetary constraints, then sometimes we have to make some decisions in order to be able to accomplish our mission. So in a nutshell, that's what we do. I will add that we also work hand in hand with our Installation Management Command, and we also work with the Army Materiel Command as well.
No, that's great insight on what the G9 does and that connection between the Army G9 office as well as the teammates you mentioned. We'll continue to do things that will help with the quality of life for our soldiers and their families across the board. And with that in mind, sir, I'd like to focus a little more on the G9's role in taking care of soldiers and families. And how does that G9 help with the military family quality of life? And why is this a focus for the G9?
So I will first say that the heart of the Army is to fight and win our nation's wars. And so I think we all understand that. But, centered around all of this and the Army's ability to be able to do that is we all know that most of us have families. And we either came in with families or we acquired families along the way. And so to ensure that the Army is the Army that's ready, I think the second part of this is to ensure that their families are taken care of. And so when you look at the components, I think that are essential when it comes to quality of life, we kind of focus it in the area of housing because that's important. We want them to have, good quality housing, a great place to live, childcare. I mean, we all know that, childcare is expensive these days, and to get quality, safe childcare, most of our Army families want to have childcare that's either on the installation or it's either connected with the installation. And we do have some opportunities and programs that do that as well. And then I think the other piece, of course, we could talk a little bit more about this because it's the centerpiece of the topic today is spouse employment. And then I would just add another part of this is making sure that, during PCS moves that it's as seamless as possible. It's not as high energy. It's not as, as hectic for our families because PCS moves are part of service as well. And to have, PCS moves that are very smooth and you don't lose anything, you don't miss anything, you don't have to pay a lot of money. Those are opportunities, I think, for our families to be able to love this thing we call the Army. And then everything, I think, is centered around our MWR programs and having other healthy outlets, I think, for our families to be able to take part in during their time in our military and then even time after they decide to leave the military or the Army, then, of course, our MWR, morale, welfare, and recreation, opportunities there that exist for the families, most importantly, probably the young children who are participating in various sports programs across our Army installations. So that's kind of why it's important. But again, it's also understanding that we put a lot of demands on our soldiers, but we also have to consider that our soldiers and their families need to have quality programs and quality infrastructure when it comes to our housing. And that's why it's so important, I think, for the Army and important for me, because I am a consumer of that. I have been a consumer of it. And most of us who are wearing this uniform have been consumers at one time or still are consumers of those great programs.
Hey, sir, that's a great, great point. And I will tell you that, like you mentioned earlier in the discussion, you know, a lot of soldiers don't start off their military career with families, but start the family process during their career. And that quality of life that you mentioned is critically important for many reasons. But primarily the quality of life piece is important because that helps to retain some of our, you know, soldiers and families, you know, out there. You know, if you don't get the quality of life right for our families, then our soldiers vote, you know, by leaving the service. So to retain that talent, definitely appreciate what you and the G9 team are doing to help retain that talent with the programs that you have out there.
Jared, you're absolutely right. I'll just foot stomp, you know, hey, we recruit soldiers, individual soldiers for the most part, but we retain families because we all know that that their lives are going to change during their time in uniform, and most of them will acquire families.
Yes, sir. Now, yeah. with that being said, we'd like to talk a little more about the spouse employment being, you know, a priority for the Army in the quality of life space. Mm-hmm. Why is military spouse employment so important to the Army?
So, you know, it goes to this, you know, kind of the last thing I talked about was the retention piece. We know that our spouses are just as valuable as the soldier. And in some cases, it is a team effort. And so most of our spouses now, they work. It's not, you know, like, you know, 30 years ago, I think, where we had a lot of our spouses did not work and for various reasons. But now most of the family network, you have, you know, dual income. And so a lot of our spouses, you know, they have college degrees, most of them, and they have a profession. And so that's why it's important, because, you know, it's just the opportunity to continue to pursue your career aspirations and still be an Army spouse. And that is absolutely critical. But also understanding that the Army has, it's not easy. And being an Army spouse is not easy. Why? Because you have to move and you have to, you know, go to a new location and you have to set up, you know, your family and set up, you know, a house and establish yourself in a new location. And then, of course, it comes, all right, if I had to stop my job when I PCS, then, you know, how am I going to get a job? Where am I going to find a job? Are there jobs that are open and available for me? And I can tell you from experience, one of the most turbulent times in a family's span of being a family in the military is when it's time to PCS, because you're trying to ensure that your spouse has the opportunity to either stay in a job that she currently has, he or she has, or be able to now, you know, find a job on the back end of your move. And then also you're trying to ensure that, you know, school systems for your children. So it is a very, very interesting time. It is probably one of the most interesting times in my household when it's time to move. And so I know that if it's that case for me, then it's the same, you know, for others. And so to have programs that are geared toward our spouses are absolutely critical, I think, to the livelihood of our families, because, again, you know, it most of our families and our family network are two income families for the most part. So that's important.
Yeah, absolutely right, sir. I tell you that, like I mentioned with my wife, Talisha, and she decided to put her career on hold to follow me around because of what you just said, the difficulty and the number of moves that we have. The time that you're on a specific installation could be only 1 or 2 or 3 years, and then uprooting the family to get them to go to another installation and then have that spouse try to find employment in another location, you know, in the past has definitely been difficult. My wife just started working after about 20 plus years of not working because of those reasons. And now she's a consultant, but we've got, you know, two adult children out of the house now. She has a little more time, and also the efforts that the Army is putting into spouse employment. I think a lot of our counterparts outside of the military are starting to understand the value our spouses have and can bring to their organizations and their communities. So that work that you and the G9 are doing is helping with that, and helping our soldiers and their spouses find employment, improving their quality of life, and then also helping with the need, like you said earlier, for that two-income household that is more needed now than it was probably in the past over time. So,
yeah, you're absolutely right.
What has the Department of Defense and the Army done to help increase military spouse employment across the board?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of things, I think, that we've been able to do over the last couple of years. I think the first messaging that I would, and I always try to do this when I'm speaking to a larger audience, is understanding the value of military spouses. And I say that because it's sort of a conversation or discussion we just previously had about the number of PCS moves that a spouse has to make. And so, this idea of what should a resume look like when you're dealing with a military spouse? Well, guess what? We got a bunch of PCS moves, probably some break in employment. You have some volunteer hours. And so for an employer, it may look like this is a risky hire because of that. They see breaks in employment. They see some volunteer work. Well, what does that really mean? And so they may not necessarily know. But I think the message for us is there's nothing more important and more valuable when you look at what a military spouse brings to the table, because those opportunities where, you have volunteer service, by the way, they're learning how to volunteer for businesses, for major companies, nonprofits, and they're learning skills in some cases that will enhance an opportunity for an employer to be able to hire this person on. Learning how to manage budgets, they're learning how to run a company. And so these are valuable skills, I think, that volunteerism brings to the life of a spouse. And so I think that's the first thing that I would tell you that's important. The second thing is this idea of remote work. And, for all the bad that COVID brought to our country, I think it really told us that we can do remote work in some cases. And so, but it's a great fit for our military spouses who have to, again, move. But if they can maintain that job and move to another location and still be valuable for that company, that is a win for us. So I say that because that's my lead in to all the great programs that are out there for military spouses with the help of the Department of Defense. And so just a couple things. We talk about education and we talk about licensing. And we know that a lot of our spouses have career professions, and some of them have professions that require license. So we do offer reimbursement for licensure. And so that is a great opportunity for like nurses, some of the education fields, in some of those technical fields where you have to have license. So that's one thing. And we offer, $1,000 reimbursement for licensure costs. And so that's beneficial. I think the other piece is internships. We have a lot of spouses who are participating in, it's called the Military Spouse Career Accelerator Pilot, which is a great opportunity for a spouse to sign up for an internship, do an internship with the company. And then at the end of their internship, if they do very well, then that company, that Fortune 500 company, a large company, could potentially give them a job offer. And so what a great benefit for our military spouses. And I just talked about, the turbulence of moves and having to move every 3 or 4 years. What about a small business and having an opportunity for a spouse to have a small business that's transferable regardless of where they are? That business is running. And so and there's consistent streams of income that are coming into the household. So I just wanted to highlight three of those. And to be honest with you, those are three that are supported and sponsored and co-sponsored by the Department of Defense. And so we're very proud of what we're doing with regards to spouse employment. And those are just to name three of them. There are many more, but I really wanted to showcase a few of our keystone programs out there.
Really appreciate that. And I'll tell you, sir, that I'm out and about. I travel probably 3 weeks out of four for Soldier for Life. And you hit on some key points that I hear regularly from teammates that I meet with. The licensure piece is so important. You know, the difficulties spouses had when moving and having to spend money multiple times in each state that they went to was a difficult thing for our spouses to deal with. Now that that is becoming a little bit easier for our spouses, they truly, truly appreciate that. But the other thing that you mentioned, sir, was the, you know, being able to take advantage of the remote work piece. And when a military member moves from location to location, being able for that spouse to maintain employment in that particular field that they're working in is truly beneficial, because I think what tends to happen, you know, when spouses go from one job to another, they end up almost going through like an entry-level process again, right, over and over again, because they're like, they're new to the company. The company's, yes, got to fill them out to see if they're, you know, worth, you know, investing time and money in. But if they can take that experience still with that same company or still with that same field with the remote work piece, I think that gives spouses the opportunity to grow with a company so that they then can become, you know, those senior leaders in those organizations and, you know, share their experiences, you know, with that company long term, you know, across the board.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. And with that said, what other resources does the Army have available to help military spouses find meaningful employment?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, first, it's not no surprise that we do have USA Jobs. I mean, and that's a resource. It's an opportunity for spouses to really look into all the different jobs that are out there across the government portfolio and the environment. And so that's a starting point. Most folks don't necessarily like USA Jobs, and we do know that because it's very overwhelming for a lot of our spouses who are looking for some individual unique jobs that are tied to the skills that they possess. But we also have the Department of Defense Military Spouse Employment Partnership. That's a partnership where employers are really recruiting military spouses. When you look at how this program has done, we've had, you know, almost 300,000 spouses who have been hired by companies since its inception. So we're very proud of that. And I think that, you know, that will continue to be a program that will, you know, endure the test of time. And I think we will see some great return when you look at what this program has done and then where it is going. I think the last thing is, you know, having non-competitive hiring authority for our different organizations across the Department of Defense to be able to hire military spouses. And so that has been a big benefit for our military spouses. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to go through the same hiring practices or hiring requirements that you would normally do. And this has been an opportunity to really find talent and to be able to onboard it fairly quickly so we can get them on board and get them working. And so I think when you think about those programs, and those are Department of Defense sponsored programs, they have been wonderful opportunities, I think, for our military spouses to be a part of, and for our organizations that are really looking for talent across the different, you know, parts of the Department of Defense to be able to have an opportunity to be able to utilize. So I wanted to put a plug in for USA Jobs, but I do know that, you know, I've got a spouse, so I know she's navigated USA Jobs before, and I know I hear it when I travel. Sometimes it could be overwhelming. There's a lot of information. It's very hard to sort of discern what is it that you're looking for, and how do you pull the things that resonate with your skill set so that now you can apply for it. So, but I do think it is still a platform that, you know, that our spouses can use.
I appreciate you sharing that. As you know, sir, our spouses, you know, are also serving and sacrificing as well. So any program that we have out there or the Department of Defense has out there to help with their ease and employment is greatly appreciated by our soldiers and our families. And appreciate you speaking about, you know, those many programs that the department has, you know, for our spouses, and also sharing, you know, where we can also improve some of those areas to make it even easier for our spouses as we, you know, transition from place to place. So thank you for sharing that. So General Vereen, this has been an important discussion. Is there any other point or topic that you want to address before we end, or one last thing that you want to share with the listeners out there?
Yeah. So if you give me two, I'll close it. First, I want to thank our spouses. You know, I think sometimes we don't do that enough. But our we do believe that the Army is built around our soldiers. But what makes our Army even greater is because our spouses that are tied to every individual soldier that's out there. And so for our soldiers to go out and do the great things that they love to do, and I'm one of those, it's great to have spouses who support us. And so we could not do it without them. So I do want to say thanks to all of our spouses and what they do to support our Army. And then the last thing, as you said, I was the former commander of recruiting. I know it is challenging, but I will also tell you that we're making great strides to improve. I do want to say that we are so proud to have a great Army, but we can't do it if we don't have soldiers that want to sign up. And I think this is an opportunity for us to continue to all be recruiters, regardless of where you are or what you do in service to our country and to our Army, that we're all recruiters, and for us to continue to have a great Army that's the best Army in the world, and I truly believe it, then it's going to take all of us to help recruit for the Army. So again, it's all about this proclamation and challenging every single one of us wearing a uniform that we are recruiters for the Army. So again, I just think it's important to put that out there that I'm excited about what we do, but I'm also excited about helping the Army continue to be the best Army in the world. And I think all of us should be doing that. So again, thank you, Jared, for this time, and look forward to maybe getting back on again at some point.
Yes, sir. I'd love to also have you on the show again. And I want to second what you just said about recruiting. You know, we have this all volunteer force. We've had it for 50 plus years. We're not going back to the draft. And in order for us to continue to have this world premier fighting force that we have, you know, we've got to continue to sustain that by recruiting the talent that we need for the Army. And just like you said, sir, it takes all of us. It's not something that it's just we need to rely on recruiters. They're a major piece of that. But every single one of us, as we go out and about, especially for our soldiers for life that are out there, and they, you know, separate or retire from the military, and you're out in your communities talking about this positive experience that you had as a soldier and as a soldier for life, you are a recruiter as well. And we need all of us to go out there and talk about the goodness the Army has, not only for our soldiers, but our families and our caregivers and those that love and support our nation. So, sir, thank you for adding that piece, because I think it's critically important to the you know, security of our nation. All of us are important to making sure that we sustain this all-volunteer force. So thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Today, General Vereen discussed the G9's role in taking care of soldiers and their families, its efforts to improve quality of life, as well as the importance of military spouse employment. I thoroughly enjoyed the discussion, and I hope you learned more about the efforts of our Army G9 teammates. Again, thank you for listening to the Soldier for Life podcast. Be sure to follow or subscribe to the Soldier for Life podcast on your favorite podcast platform so that you don't miss an episode. As always, this is Colonel Jared Thomas. Once a soldier, always a soldier. A soldier for life.